following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Brendan O'Connell. Well, there's a lot of the buzz going on about abortion pill recovery or rescue that is now becoming a real thing in this country. And the abortion industry often tries to belittle the pro-life side, and they're doing it again with the abortion pill rescue method, where someone gets progesterone to try to save the abortion pill that they took, mifepristone. And we have with us today someone who's heading up a group, I think that's out of Massachusetts Citizens for Life. And I'll just briefly give you some background about him, and then we'll get right into the discussion. Our guest is Paul DiBiase. He's executive director of APRScience.org. He received his master's degree in healthcare bioethics at the University of Mary, which for Bostonians, that's in Bismarck, North Dakota, and holds engineering degrees from Cornell University and Boston University. Prior to APR Science, Mr. DiBiase was an analyst and chief of research at Gartner. He was born and raised in Massachusetts. He and his wife have three grown children and two grandchildren. Well, welcome, Paul DiBiase.
Thank you, Brendan. Nice to be here.
Paul, can you tell us about the APR Science? What is it all about, and what do you hope for in the future?
So APRScience.org, in a nutshell, is a website that is essentially an educational project. It brings together research from all over the world, from clinicians and researchers, into one place so that researchers and physicians can become more informed about APR science, the science behind abortion pill rescue. That is it in a nutshell.
And when it first came out, and many years ago, probably 6-7 years ago now, I interviewed Dr. Delgado, who was one of the two doctors that were the catalyst behind this. At that time, they were using needles that they would have to inject people with progesterone. Is that the case today?
So there are three protocols. The first is using just pills, progesterone pills. Also, it can be delivered, through injection or vaginal delivery. So all three of those options are available. It depends upon the circumstance. Most try to opt for the pills.
I see. And I, when I interviewed him way back when, it was just starting to take hold as far as abortion pill rescue. How big is it today? Is it around the country now in more spots? Can you tell us a little about that?
So it's actually international. So well over 4,000 babies have been saved in over 85 countries. And so Heartbeat International is the organization that manages the abortion pill reversal network of physicians and clinicians. But it clearly is and truly is an international way of delivering therapy for women that take the first abortion pill and then change their mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other side tries to besmirch anything that the pro-life side does. How have they gone about trying to besmirch the abortion pill rescue here in the United States?
Well, really, the very first thing is just denying that there's even any evidence at all. And I distinctly remember listening to a talk from Dr. George Delgado at Boston College 2 years ago, and he talked about, you know, APR. And I remember going home saying, you know, I really hadn't heard of that. And since I'm a researcher, I began to do research. And what I quickly found is that APLOG, the American Association of OBGYNs, their conclusion was that APR was safe and effective. But ACOG, which is the American College of OBGYNs, a very pro-abortion organization, stated that unequivocally there is no medical evidence at all and that it's unsafe. And I remember thinking, both of these can't be true. You know, how could it? They're so in complete opposite. And so the way that the pro-abortion side is really attacking this is, number one, denying that there's any evidence that supports it. Number two, scaring women by saying that it's not safe. Number three, besmirching the research, besmirching physicians like Dr. Delgado. So that's really the approach. And the media just amplifies that. And so if you do a Google search and you look for APR, you're quickly going to see all of these articles and statements. And so that's really what we wanted to really...
All these articles and statements besmirching abortion pill reversal?
So saying, you know, that the research is, that there is no research, or that the little bit of research that there is isn't very good, or, you know, saying negative things about Dr. Delgado. So that's really the approach.
Mm-hmm. And the audience, the people, the physicians and the researchers seeking access and physicians that are counseling women who are pregnant, do they know about it, or how aware are they of this at this time? Is it 5% of the population, 10, 50%? What would you guesstimate it?
You know, I don't have a number, but I'd say the vast majority of physicians are unaware of APR, the ability to use progesterone, mm-hmm. to mitigate against the mifepristone, which is the first drug, mm-hmm. and for those that are aware, many of them are misinformed. Many of them are just seeing, you know, what's out there in the media or seeing what ACOG has been saying.
And in the journal I'm looking at, MSFL Spring of the 2024. They're using the term that I personally think they shouldn't, and that is, what is a medication abortion and its drug regimen? I would call it a chemical abortion, because medication is capitulating to the other side, just as they tried years ago to say that an abortion doesn't happen until 5 to 7 days after 5 to 7 days after fertilization. Yeah. In other mm-hmm. words, when the embryo attaches to the uterine wall.
Right.
And this is a case of a medication abortion. Could you tell us about that? How does it work? I know that there's progesterone, but tell us, what do you know beyond that?
Sure. So the basic idea is that when a woman becomes pregnant, she releases progesterone. And what the progesterone does, it does many things, but one of the things it does is it binds to the progesterone receptors in her uterus, and it's like a key going into a lock and unlocking the lock. And the progesterone, when it binds to the receptors, activates the receptors, and then it changes the uterus so that the embryo can embed and the placenta can grow and the embryo can be nourished. So it's a critical part, critical function of pregnancy. Mifepristone is sort of the anti-progesterone. It binds to the progesterone receptors in the uterus more aggressively than natural progesterone. But when the key goes in the lock, it doesn't turn the lock. It doesn't activate the progesterone receptors. And so it doesn't make the change in the uterus so that the embryo can embed, or if the embryo has already embedded, it separates the embryo from the mother's uterus. And so, in effect, what the mifepristone does is it causes the embryo to die of starvation and lack of hydration. And then the second pill, the misoprostol, which is taken 1 or 2 days later, causes contractions, which then, expels the embryo. So that's the basic function of how the chemical abortion works.
And can this type of abortion be reversed? And do you have any proof of that?
Right. So when people say reversal or recovery from medication abortion, what they're really talking about is giving the woman additional progesterone that's identical to, biologically identical to the progesterone that she's receiving. And so mifepristone and progesterone are opposites of each other. They compete with each other. And so when the woman becomes pregnant, she releases the progesterone. She then ingests the mifepristone, which competes with that progesterone. And then when she has the APR treatment, she's given additional progesterone, which causes the it outcompetes with the mifepristone. So then it binds to the progesterone receptors. And so it's almost like an antidote. The progesterone is almost like an antidote to the mifepristone. And so it by having more progesterone, it then binds to the receptors. And so that's when people say reversal, that's what they mean, is giving additional progesterone that's identical to what she's already releasing in her body to outcompete with the mifepristone. And then depending upon, how soon after she took the mifepristone and also the age of the embryo, there are many studies that show that the rate of continuing that pregnancy is well above the 25% or less that just plain mifepristone provides. It is upwards of 65% or higher. So that's what people mean by abortion pill reversal or, reversing a chemical abortion.
And is it safe for women? I know at first the abortion side tries to say it's not safe. Is that true?
Right. That's also another scare tactic. Progesterone has been used safely in pregnancy since the 1970s. So it's very, well understood and widely used. And so when you kind of scratch beneath the surface and you ask, well, what research do you have that shows that it is unsafe? They always point to one small study by Dr. Mitchell Krenin, who is a paid advisor to chemical abortion provider Danco Laboratories. That small study, actually, the conclusion of that study shows that APR is safe and effective, but it's been spun the other way. And so that study had 10 women, 5 were given mifepristone and placebo, and 5 were given mifepristone followed by progesterone. And of the 5 women that were given mifepristone and the placebo, 2 of them went to the emergency room with heavy bleeding, which is a risk of mifepristone, a risk factor. Both of them needed emergency procedures, and one of them needed a transfusion. And on the mifepristone and progesterone side, the APR side, none of the women needed any transfusions or procedures. One woman did have heavy bleeding, went to the emergency room. After examination, they said to her, she's just completing her abortion, and she just went home. So there is no safety issue there with progesterone. It's really with the women that had mifepristone and no progesterone that had
A placebo?
that required, they had some safety issues. So that's really that's the result of the study, but it's been spun the other way. It's been spun to say that APR is unsafe.
Well, who spins it the other way? What agencies is it, like mass media, like NBC, ABC, CBS? Who are the ones basically lying to the general public?
So it's, if you just do a Google search, you'll see all of the studies, so all of the media. So you'll certainly see the media, ABC, NBC, the major news outlets that you stated, but like Scientific American, when I first started looking at this, I always thought, okay, Scientific American, they're looking at the science, right? But they're not. They're just echoing the stories that are being told about the fact that that it's unsafe, that they're just echoing that and so repeating that. And so that's what makes it difficult for women to find the truth, and also for physicians that don't have time to do the research. They're seeing this out there in the media, and by ACOG saying the same thing.
Now, I know a lot of researchers love to go to the Scandinavian countries because they follow each person on medical records from birth till death. And Finland, they showed adverse effects of chemical abortions was 4 times the rate of a surgical abortion. How can you
Right.
say it's safe when it's 4 times riskier than a surgical abortion?
Right. That's another, just another example of sort of ignoring the information and the studies that are available that show that mifepristone is unsafe, and then promoting the fact and stating the fact that mifepristone is as safe as Tylenol, which is really not telling women the truth. And so this is really a battle to provide the information. So the website has the cited studies. It shows, visually in graphics and diagrams what the research is showing. It has a research repository that clinicians or researchers that want to do additional research, they can go and look at all the citations and very quickly link to the actual studies. And it also has downloadable data sets, so you can actually see the data from all of the studies. And so the goal here is to take what has been somewhat hidden, because it's embedded in reports in many, many journals, and bring it all together in one place, so researchers and physicians can actually look at the data for themselves, and they can see for themselves that there really is evidence that abortion pill reversal works, and that it isn't true that abortion pill reversal isn't safe. In fact, it is safe.
I see. And one of the things I found very interesting was that there's an increase in emergency rooms appearances, visits, and the woman's chance of a preterm birth is increased by 300%. And I know that in a surgical abortion where they pry open, I forget what. category it is of a woman's body, but they compromise it so that in subsequent births they're not able to hold the baby for a full 9 months term. Is that the case with chemical abortions too, chemical pill abortions?
Well, I don't want to really talk to mifepristone per se. I know the Supreme Court is in the middle of looking at that right now. We're waiting for results, so I'm going to let the experts on mifepristone and the litigation just to move forward. So I think the important thing here that I wanted to really say is, for women receiving progesterone after, the mifepristone, that there is evidence that it's safe and effective.
And what has been the success rate? Is there a percentage on the success rate of where the people take the progesterone after taking the
Right.
mifepristone?
So it's dependent upon a couple of factors. Generally, the success factor is roughly two-thirds of women who take mifepristone and then change their mind and have progesterone treatment before they have misoprostol have found to have a continuing pregnancy 7 to 14 days after, taking the progesterone and the mifepristone. But it's dependent upon the gestational age of the embryo. And so, the younger the embryo, the more at risk it is, and the older the embryo, the stronger it is and more likely that you'll see a continuing pregnancy. The other is depending upon how you ingest the progesterone. So what the research has shown is that taking injections or the pills are the most effective ways of you have most effective results in that way. And the other there's actually a third factor, which is how soon after the taking the mifepristone do you take the progesterone? You want to take that as soon as possible. So time is of the essence. And so if women don't know about this and physicians don't know about this and they're searching, time is wasting. And so it's very important for women to be informed of this as an option in case they change their mind, and for physicians to be informed of this. And that's why we have, this website.
And have you when did the website come up, and have you had many visitors yet, or how are you promoting the website so that people can get this knowledge?
Right, so we're basically doing interviews like this. We're having physicians and researchers promoted on social media. We're working on search engine optimization for the website, but basically just spreading the word that it exists. It launched on January 16th, and we're seeing a steady increase in traffic, and also people are finding out about it outside the United States, in Germany, in Spain, in the UK, in China, in India, and Panama. And so organically, people are finding out about this just through searching on Google. And so it's a slow process, but we're basically getting the word out in many different ways.
And do you know roughly to date how many lives have been saved with abortion pill rescue? Any
Well,
idea?
according to the latest information from Heartbeat International, over 4,000 lives have been saved with women in over 85 countries. The number is probably higher than that. Those were numbers released in 2023, looking back at 2022. We don't have the report from 2023 yet. So those numbers are probably higher, but those are the stated numbers to date.
And in taking, if a woman takes the chemical abortion pill, I wanted to ask you, what are the outcomes of mifepristone ingestion? What can she, what could be possibly happen in when she ingests that pill?
Well, I think what you're asking is what are some of the risk, the risk factors. The normal way that this works, as I was talking about earlier, is to cause a separation of the embryo from the uterus, and then, that's how there's,
So that would be embryo
fetal
demise.
demise. But
What else?
sorry, go ahead. No, I'm
Well,
just saying, if you look at what the FDA states on the approved labeling, they identify two risk factors, hemorrhaging and infection. So those are the two, biggest risk factors for that. The study, there's sort of a debate of the studies. There's been studies that shown, there may be, overdose or a reaction to the pills themselves, but those are really the two that are stated by the FDA. There are others that that possibly can exist.
and I saw that movie Unplanned with Abby Johnson, and I was shocked when I saw, and it just briefly flashes, but the baby is in the toilet, basically, and there's a lot of blood in the toilet and that sort of thing. The psychological aspects of this abortion pill, is there a lot of people who are taking these pills that they don't really know what's going on? I mean, other than they're getting rid of another human being.
Well, here's the issue. There are many, many websites, both within and outside of the United States, that sell the mifepristone. What's also happening is universities and state governments and federal government are stockpiling the mifepristone. There's also what's called advanced prescribing that's going on, where women are receiving the mifepristone before they even want to have an abortion, just to have it available to them. And even in states where it's restricted or illegal, the commercial websites that sell the mifepristone show you how to set up, mail delivery of the mifepristone in states where it's legal, and then have it forwarded to your home. And so what the research has shown is that since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the number of abortions in the United States has actually gone up significantly, and the rate of the use of chemical abortion is well above 50%. And so we're seeing more abortions, more chemical abortions, and like I said, the stockpiling of mifepristone and the advanced prescribing, so that women and teenage girls have this mifepristone available to them.
And one final question, and that is the Comstock Act, which was in the 1860s, I think, and it said that you cannot give chemicals or medication, drugs across state lines, and also paraphernalia that cannot go across state lines. Do you think that that would limit, if that is pursued all the way to the Supreme Court, would that limit mifepristone?
I think the question is, how do you enforce that? There are many websites. There's mail forwarding. How do you know what's really even in the mail? So it'd be difficult to enforce.
I see. Well, Paul, thank you so much. Paul DiBiase, we really appreciate your coming on and explaining some of the facets of APR. Right, aprscience.org, you'll learn a lot there. And there'll be continuing studies done on abortion pill recovery, rescue, or whatever you'd like to call it. And it's a thing that can help dampen the abortion industry in their attempt to lower the population. Anyways, folks, we hope you found today's show to be unique, informative, content-rich, truthful, and thought-provoking. Thanks for watching and listening. My name is Brendan O'Connell, your friend for life.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.